Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We have nine people
Hello.
on. We have a lot more. Let me unleash all of you. Hold on. Let's see how we do this.
Can you see that? Are you
Oh, there you
able?
are, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Good to see you. So you have control. Okay.
I'll unmute everyone to start.
How many people are you expecting?
We have
Like 20?
17 total.
Okay.
But there's always people who can't, who have trouble with the time, so. You got my note, right?
I did.
Good.
Like long distance. It sounds like we're going under sea. Submarine.
Let's see, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, my Emily got a message from Elizabeth, our medium to free student, correct?
Yeah. We'll have to chat about, yeah. We're just going to shut the sound down a little.
I think someone has a step high all the way up. That's one. So this is mediumship two, right?
Yeah, so this is our jumpstart group. So mediumship two. So
It's
they
our
will
first
be.
meeting.
It's our first meeting, but it's not. So this is just the small group we selected who get sort of the early bird support, James.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So first time we've had a Zoom call though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I see a familiar faces, so. So okay.
You guys are lucky because the real course, so I think there's only 18 of you. The real course is usually on our Zooms, there's like 70 people. So this will be really fun. So go ahead, James.
Yeah, so we haven't met before per se, like formally in a class, and the first time on Zoom. But so today we're going to cover power. But what if, I first want to say hello to everybody and introduce myself, and maybe a little bit about it. We only have like eight or nine people, so you can do a quick hello and maybe what you'd like to talk about today. I have an idea of what I want to cover, but I can also put other stuff in there if you'd like. So why don't we start, Emily?
Okay, perfect.
Emily runs the school, by the way. Emily's the principal of the school, though they don't know. She's kind of developed the school with me and really developed courses. So you're on, Emily.
Okay, so I'll just go down. I think there's now 12 of you. So I'm going to go down and just call your name and unmute you, and you can just introduce yourself and tell James
what your interest is. What do you hope to get out of the course?
Okay, we'll start with Mindy. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm Mindy Rogers. I am a working medium, and I attended James's conference in Encinitas this year recently.
Okay.
I've met a few of you.
Okay. All right. Next, we'll go to Alan.
Hi, I'm Alan. I'm up in Pasadena. I have taken mediumship one. I've also studied with Lynn Probert at the Arthur Findlay College. And so
I did.
And I'll be going back this summer. So this is perfect timing. By the time this ends, I'll be going back across the pond to Arthur Findlay.
And did you go to, were you in Encinitas? You were, weren't you?
No. I met you and Mavis at in Long Beach.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you look familiar. So I've seen your face. Because Lynn and I teach a lot in Encinitas, so good. And who are your other teachers or tutors over there you had?
Colin Bates. I'll be doing a workshop with Andy Bing next month.
Oh, great. We love Andy. He's great. I love him. That's great. Very good, Alan. Very good. Good. Keep on keeping on.
I keep on.
Okay, good.
Okay, let's go to Mary next. Mary Harpin.
Hi, everybody. I'm new. I'm in the middle of level one right now. So hopefully I will be coming to Encinitas this fall. And I'm calling in from Denver, Colorado. Great to be here.
Great, Mary. Nice to have you.
Okay, let's go to Janie. Janie?
Hi.
Hi, Janie. Are you in a closet somewhere? Where are you? You are. Very psychic. What can I say? Wow. Okay.
I just finished level one, and I'm starting level two, and I got the jump start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Good. Nice to have you.
Okay, let's go to Christine.
Hi, this is Christine McClendon from Odessa, Texas. Hi.
Very pretty, Christine.
What was that? I'm sorry.
How pretty you are.
Oh, thank you. That's funny. You're so funny. The reason why you don't see me today is I've had contractors in my office. So I do this professionally, but I just signed up for one and two because I wanted to get all the scoop even on one. So the reason why I'm incognito today is I've had contractors in my house working on my office. I just bought a new home. So anyway, but I look forward to, I see y'all. I'm enjoying seeing y'all.
Very good, honey.
So thanks. Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary McKenna calling in from Monterey, California. I'm very happy to be here. And this is my first course. I'm in the middle of one and signed up for two. I've been doing a shamanic practice for about 7 years and a lot of shamanic journeying. So this feels like an extension of that work that I've been doing. So I'm really looking forward to the class. Thank you.
Okay, good. Good, Mary. Welcome.
Okay, let's go to Iris.
Hey, my name is Iris Cummins. I'm calling from Berkeley, California. And I've had more than 30 years practice in natural medicine and healing. And in the last 10 years, as part of this work, a lot of psychic and mediumship experiences arose. So that's been getting stronger and stronger to me. I've taken your mediumship one course, and I'm just drawn to do it more and more. So I do readings for people. I don't necessarily call myself a practicing medium, but essentially I am. I still practice natural medicine, but it's become a great part of my healing practice now when spirits arise and communicate and listening to tissues and all kinds of things. So I'm very interested and have been helped a lot by the Certification One program and look forward to developing more.
Good. Okay, great, Iris. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Isabella.
Hi, I'm living in Bend, Oregon. I've taken mediumship one, and I took mediumship two in 2017, but I never finished it. So it was with all the groups and everything, and I'm excited to be here and do this again.
Good. Very good. Nice to have you, sweetheart.
Okay, let's go to Edward.
Hello. Hi. I'm on Cortez Island off the west coast of Canada, and I'm currently working on level one. I'm a transpersonal psychotherapist, and a lot of my experiences were childhood experiences and young adult experiences. And I have a question about something about that, but I'm really excited to be here. So,
Edward, when is your birthday?
April 14th, 62.
Okay. You have a beautiful energy.
Thank you.
Beautiful energy. Yeah. Yeah. Natural. Very good. Okay. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Okay. We have someone on the phone next at 510.
Hi, I'm Donna Stoneham. I live in the Bay Area, and I'm driving to work. So I'm glad I was able to at least jump on the call. I attended James's and Lynn's training in Encinitas in September.
Right.
And I just signed up for level one and for this. And I had an NDE when I was 15, and I have been dancing between worlds ever since. So I'm very excited about this.
Great. Great. Nice to see you, hear you again.
Okay, let's go to Robin next. Robin?
Is she in this world?
Robin, we'll come back to you. It looks, your video and mic. Go ahead and message it. Welcome back to you, Robin.
Oh, you're okay. Working, then I'm working. So you work on that, we'll get back to him.
Okay, Megan.
Megan.
Hi. I'm Megan McCauley. I'm in Eastern Washington. And I'm a medium. I've been interested in this all my life. I think it started from my mother, who used to have seances in our house when we were little kids. I'm just interested in learning more. I've never really studied with anyone, but it's been an interest all my life.
Good, nice having you.
Thank you.
And next, Michelle.
Hi, my name's Michelle Brennan and I'm in Monterey, California. I've always been energy sensitive and have had a 1 foot in this world and 1 foot in the other, and have done energy work for many years. I was at the Encinitas event in September and loved it. I'm in the middle of level one and really excited about just expanding, learning more. And this is my home, working with energy. So that's why I'm here.
Feels right to you.
Okay, Robin, just we're going to try you once more. I messaged you. If it's still not working, just feel free to type in there, Robin, and introduce yourself. Okay. We think she'll do that. Okay. All right. So that's everyone. Go ahead, James.
Well, welcome, everybody. And I'm glad to have you. And I'm very, very happy that you've joined us here at the JAP School of Mystical Arts. Just listening to some of you, and then we'll just jump to the questions for you, and then I'll give you exactly what I really want to talk about. So people come to this course in different ways, whether they hear about it from somebody, or they've actually seen me in Encinitas or elsewhere, or they're on my email list, or they hear about it. However you're meant to be here, you're meant to be here. Some of you might find that you have backgrounds of shamanic healing and psychotherapy and herbal work, Reiki, angel work. I get a lot of different types of people, different disciplines, which is very, very normal, whatever that means, that word is, to get to this sort of space. Medium, even though you come from that background, which is fantastic, we'll be using not a lot of that. So it's going to be a very different discipline you'll find. It might be helpful with integration of that discipline you've studied before into this. But when you enter mediumship, it's a whole kind of different kind of mindset, if you will. And as we go into the space, it's just continuing on your journey of your soul and It's really interesting because I always think it's just a mindset in that you're opening your mind, you're expanding your mind. The mind is the soul is the mind. At death, the brain dies, but the mind continues on. So the mind is your soul. And within that soul is contained all the experiences you've ever had in this lifetime and other lifetimes, but we're just talking about this lifetime now. And it really is, with mediumship two, we learned a little bit of mediumship one, and a lot of you've had experiences of mediumship one in your own way. It's really refining yourself and refining that aspects of your mind to do something which is very, very interesting in mediumship. There's a part which is, I find, a bit struggling for some, and for others it comes naturally, but it's almost like riding a bicycle. When you're able to do it, you do it, but at the beginning you fall off a heck of a lot. And it's very much like that, because in mediumship, it's really getting to the space that you're opening yourself up and surrendering. The word is surrendering. Opening yourself up to such a point of surrendering that you're really just there waiting. And for some people, it's not easy to be vulnerable, just to surrender like that. And then you pick up, you feel the spirit come close to you, and you let that spirit kind of come so close to you that you become them, they become you. Some people might get scared of that because they think, oh my God, am I going to be possessed? Is there going to be an exorcism needed? None of that possible. I don't believe in evil per se. I believe in love and different aspects of love. I don't believe in evil. I believe a lot of it comes from backgrounds and religious backgrounds and study. But some people, they still bring that into this type of work because maybe they've seen a bad horror movie, or mediumship wasn't portrayed in a positive aspect or an ignorant aspect. So with mediumship, the hard part is it's having that sense of serenity, but also that sense of being present. So it's really a passive aggressiveness. You got to be passive enough to blend with the spirit world, but also aggressive enough to know when you're into that space, that power, and to speak through that. So that's what it's about. We'll discuss today about power a lot. What is the power? What does it mean being in the power? Different ways you can find the power. And Emily, have already given the exercise or not?
Did you say have not. I figured we'd introduce it today.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. So before we go into the power, and a lot about the power I want to talk about, because I see you, a lot of you have varied backgrounds. And Alan, I'm really proud of you when I was at the school, the college, for you. I've never been there. They won't let me. So good. So you'll find when you go to the college, it's a little Arthur Findlay, it's a very disciplined situation, but it's changing a lot because they get a lot of Americans now. And thank God we've changed it. We've made it a lot more lighter than it used to be. It used to be very, very detail, evidential, detail. And they've lightened that up a bit because they realize that the personality should come out. People can recognize the personality sometimes more than evidence, because the person in the audience might not know all the evidence about that person. Excuse me. So it's more the personality. So they're blending, they're bringing a lot more of integration of personality into their work over the college, which is fantastic. Still a great place to study. If you can't study with me, study there. So I want to, before we get into the power and how to use the power, how to get in the power, how to stay the power, what the hell is the power, any general questions you might have that you want to pose to me right now that can help you and help everybody else? So if you do have a question, star 6.
Oh, not, that's the phone line. Just wave. I'll see you. We have such a small group. So, and I know Mary had a question and you are off. So let's go to Mary first, and anyone else just wave. Mary, go ahead. Mary, you had a question. Well, you just wanted to know how someone is ready to read professionally and transition from practice reading to readings for clients for real. James.
Oh, is that Mary's high pitch?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. I'm looking at the wrong.
Oh, no, that's okay. Sorry.
Go ahead. There's two. I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
Yes. No, that's sort of it. It's just sort of, you know, going from doing practice readings and that kind of thing to transitioning into a professional, more formal situation, and kind of how you know you're ready to do that responsibly and so on.
Let me ask you this. You are a practicing medium, right? You said, or you were just a bit.
Nope, I'm newer. So I've done it informally, and I have experiences where spirit comes to me, right. Yep. You know, and sometimes I bring that to the person if I feel that they're ready and open and want to hear that. And sometimes I don't. So
it's pretty personal, Mary. It's from my back, and you're asking me, and it's my opinion. In order to know if you're professional enough, where you're just, you know, finishing practicing, to me, I like a formality about things. So I like to know what it's like for many years of sitting in the quiet, sitting in the silence, sitting in a development circle for many years. I sat in a development circle for 7 years, every Tuesday night for an hour and a half, a for 7 years because I didn't feel it confidence enough. And I know I had people's lives in my hands that I had to be sensitive to. So I wanted to make sure that I did all the work properly. I wanted to make sure I developed properly, that I was strong within my power, that the information I gave out made sense, that it made hit. So after you work for a while, a couple of years at least, and you're really into that space of mediumship where you're connected to spirit, you're surrendering fine, and things are very strongly connecting, 1, 2, 3, what'll happen is you'll start getting clients. And your clients will start telling people about you. If you're any good, you'll get referrals. That's when you know you've made it, okay? Depending on the quality of that mediumship, because there could be different qualities. But for me, when you work with me, it's got to be a certain level of quality. Before I was
right.
You're really ready, or you know, you really need a little bit more time. You're not quite there.
Yeah.
But it depends on each individual. But for me, I'd have to see them, but it matters about how much they can surrender, how much detail, how much evidence, how much they're working with spirit. Are they giving specific details or just generalities? Big difference.
Right. Okay. Great. Yeah, because I'm starting a development circle and doing practicing, and then I'm having people come to me and ask me specifically to meet with them one-on-one for readings. I don't know if it's irresponsible to say yes at this point, even if I say I'm a novice, you know?
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, okay.
I would say I'm not ready yet. You don't want to get in that habit because then the ego gets involved. You don't want to go there yet.
Yeah, no. Okay, great. Thank you.
Person, but you just got to be careful with that. So I'd say you're still,
right.
You're still baking. Come back okay. To me when I'm fully cooked.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, anyone else? Just wave. Or on the phone, if you have a question, I believe it's *9. Okay, Megan, go ahead.
Yeah. What do you do, James, when you're meditating and you feel like you're in your power, but then yet when you're trying to go, I don't know how the word term to use, try to go higher to connect more, and you start having trouble. What do you do?
I get back to my breathing. I go back to breathing.
Get back to breathing.
I know that my power more. I go back to the breath and I start building the power more and sit with that for a while and build that very slowly. And then expand slowly. I do it in a slow, steady pace.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Don't force anything, sweetheart. You can't force anything.
True.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Janie, I saw you were waving.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. Okay. Anyone else? Edward.
Thank you. You may respond to this in talking about power, James, but a specific question. My wife and I lived in a house in Victoria for 7 years, and it turns out it was like completely unhealthy with mold, and we were also exposed to carbon monoxide poisoning for a year. And I've really noticed the effect on my sensitivity and my intuition, and I'm wondering... Beyond, I'm running the energy and doing the exercise. Beyond that, I'm wondering if there's anything specific you might be able to suggest for kind of the both physical as well as the energetic healing.
Sure. So just throwing the background on this. So the mold and the carbon, is it still affecting you? Is it affecting your sensitivity in a negative way?
Well, you know, honestly, I don't know. My sense is that it's affected kind of the richness of the intuition or even the frequency of the intuition. I mean, I used to walk around and have to really practice shutting down so I didn't hear and see things, but.
I think it's always there. I think you can be even better than you were. And I think you're just attuning yourself with sitting in the quiet and we're sitting in your power more often than not. I think that could certainly come back and then some, and then go some. It never gets squashed. It'll increase if anything.
Okay.
So you're fine. I'm not worried about you. I'm glad you survived. I'm not worried about you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else? We have a quiet group. Looks like that might be it for now, James.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit today about the power because people don't know what the power is. And they say, what does the power mean? What does that be in your power? Step into your power. How do you do a reading where you have to get into your power? Oh, they drop out of their power. So power, and I wrote my notes down, so I'll remember everything. Power is a fuel that makes the that works with the spirit, works with you. It's a fuel for that fills up your tank in order for you to expand your a mind and work with the spirit world. So there's no power in the tank. There's no spiritual stamina. So it's your spiritual stamina, the power, being your spiritual stamina. Power is the ability to produce this energy so power equals producing energy for a long period of time. That's power. So I can do a reading for an hour and a half. That means that I'm able to really be have the energy for an hour and a half. I'm in the power, and that power means that you're bringing your vibration up to a certain frequency, a certain level, and sustaining that level for a long period of time. In my case, like an hour and a half. The most I could do is probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours, I would say. That's it. And you'll feel the power drop, and you'll feel it significantly. And at that point, you stop working because there's nothing to draw from. So how would we describe power? Because people describe it differently. Power is, it's an excitement. It's an enthusiasm. It's a sense of, I'll explain, it's like the champagne bottle, taking a pop, the top of the champagne bottle, that excitement, that bubbling, that connection, that wow. It's almost like your soul essence. And I often will visualize it, and everybody can do it in different ways, visualizing your power, but I often will visualize it as like Star Trek, because I'm a Star Trek fan, of stepping into that white, the light, the vessel, beam me up, that beam, beam me up, Scotty. So I see like a beam, I imagine a beam, and then when I step into that beam, but then do the private one-on-one reading, and I get into that space of that beam, I'll imagine a beam. I know that being contains that excitement, that stamina, that energy, that building me up to a certain level. And some ways you'll feel like this high, you'll feel this vibration build. It's like running a race, and it's this complete connection there. And at which point, when you build up this power, this stamina, you're there and you open yourself up to whatever spirit comes into that space. You can send out a prayer and an intention to the spirit saying, I am ready to receive you. Please come close to me. We have to realize in mediumship that it's not just about you being in that power, and you don't grab a spirit. The spirit world works with you in that. There may be a spirit who really needs to come through to your sitter. That is what you're working for the spirit world. You're working for them. You're not working for the recipient, even though that's the place that you're sitting with the person. They're sitting across from you. They're paying the money. You should explain to them, I'm really working from the spirit point of view. I'm working for them. They know your needs. They know the people you need to that want to contact you. They know who you want to contact. But there might be some great need in the spirit world that needs to be met, and I'm here to do that. As a medium, I am here to make that need possible. So that's really what your job is. Your job is to be really the silent partner in this, in a way, where you're opening yourself up to the needs of the spirit world. So the person sitting in front of you might want to hear from their dead father. And when you go to a reading, I often say at the beginning, have direction. Give directions to your sitter. This is how I work. Bum, 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 bum. And at the end of that direction, you should always have space to say to them, in the last 15 minutes, if certain aspects, certain wishes that you, desires you have, that you'd like to contact a certain specific person or ask certain questions, we'll save that last 15 minutes for that. Guarantee you by the first half hour, all of that will be answered because the spirit world already knows. So that's something that you should look into. With your directions, that'll be part of your directions when you sit with the person. And you'll find that when the person gets there, the recipient gets there, the power within you or around you should start happening probably 5 to 10 minutes, even sometimes 15 minutes before the person gets there, if you're doing one-on-one readings. When you sit in the power in the circle, so many times the development circle, all that it's for is for you to sit in the power. Everyone in that group should be sitting in the power. Now, when we say sitting in power, sitting in that space that brings you up, that brings enthusiasm, that makes you excited. And sometimes you can see it any way you'd like to, building up this energy, a thermostat going up, a water, this water building up, and you're floating on a water. All different ways, whatever's easy for you to visualize that space. I find when I get into the power, I'm at the very top of that power, if you will, I get the sense also in my mind that I'm one of everything, that everything is one and I'm connected to everyone, everything. Everything is connected. There's oneness about it. So that's very interesting. Let me see what else I wrote. Right? I've talked about everything. Power Manifests the Spirit World. This is from Gordon Higginson. He was a very well-known medium in England. And he started the Arthur Findlay College. And he said about power, he said, power manifests the spirit world to make communication possible. So I'm going to repeat that. Power manifests the spirit world to make communication possible. So if you don't have power, you can't have communication. And you'll see certain mediums in the beginning, they're struggling and struggling trying to get communication. And it's because they're not in the power. The power is also the sense of surrender. It's not being in your head, it's being in your heart. And you'll see very easily, because you recognize when someone is in the power, when someone's not in the power. Because also when they're in the power, there's this lovely, again, the surrendering, the sense of connection, the sense of excitement. And when they're struggling, when they're not in the power, or they've dropped out of the power, because it's like a wave, goes up and goes down, you'll see them struggling when they shouldn't be struggling, because then they're not working correctly. They need to stop and recalibrate, and they get back into their power. But I've seen many mediums, student mediums, who try, and then they get in their head, and then they get to the psychic, which is very different than mediumship. So that's wrong. They got to stop and reintegrate into the power. Okay. What else did I write down here for you guys? Yeah. I have a student call at 11 o'clock. Okay. Power equals energy over time, right? Power is the amount of fuel in the tank, right? And the energy, power is the amount, this is something very interesting. Power is the amount of fuel in your tank. Energy is the rate of speed you use it. That's pretty good, if I do say so. So different ways of getting the power. So a couple of different ways. So it's always a mindset. Your mindset is, I'm going to be in the power, the mindset. Now, I find when I get into the power, it has to be kind of a neutral mind. It has to be kind of a sense of receptivity. And I get my mindset is going to be, I'm excited to work with the spirit world. Oh, wow, it's going to be a great moment here. Before I do a demonstration, I get this, I meditate. I meditate for a good 10 to 15 minutes. Now, meditation can be very passive, of course. You're sitting in the quiet. But at the same time, a passive meditation, they're building, the spirit will help building that power within you. And you're sitting and you're building that. So meditation is the number one way to raise your vibration. Even though it seems like it's a passive experience, it's really raising your vibration. And as you sit there for 15, 20 minutes, you'll begin to feel the raising of the vibration. A good friend of mine, Chris Drew, who's a medium from England, we sat in the power before we did a demonstration together. And it was really interesting because I felt not only raising the vibration was happening, but also felt this cold beings all around me. And I said to Chris, I feel cold beings all around me. And he said, isn't that great? And it was his way of working the spirit world to know that they were there. There's his own, he said, no, my own sense of insecurity that I wanted to know they were with us. So that he does that. He's been doing that now for a couple of years. It works really well for him. I love it. I think it's great. And so it's bringing that energy up. It's knowing that they're there, and that really works well. So when you raise your vibration, again, you're able to connect. That's an easy way to get into the power. What else can I say? Again, visualization, like an energy channel, a beam of light, along with this meditation, a beam of light. I'm feeling a bubbly excitement. I'm connected to the one. Very, very good. Another thing about the power, when you're in your power, so you're in your power, you have to be the natural detective. So you're going to go and discover things in the spirit world. So you're stepping aside, the ego steps aside, the spirit comes in, and you're going to go with spirit on a lovely journey of discovery. And you're going to find out things through them about their lives. And you're going to be able to present like a memory book to the recipient. And that's when you're in your power. You're going to get excited about presenting these memories, because you're going to give life to these memories all over again. So it's being in the power, you're getting memories to these loved ones all over again. When you're in the power, of course, the ego has to step aside. There is no room for the ego when you're in your power, because power is a spirit, it's not a physical. You want to make sure that you are really of that space and of the ego space, because the power won't be sustained if you're in the ego. It'll dwindle very, very quickly. What else can I have here? Oh, yeah, the other thing I want to talk about, trust. You got to trust yourself. When you find that you're questioning things left and right, that means you're in your head, not in your heart. And to be empowered, the empowered, means being in your heart space as well. I call the heart space power space as well. It's that heart space. The soul is technically behind the heart. So that's your soul space. And you want that soul to come alive. And so your soul is coming alive. The power is reaching up. And that light is, that beacon of light is there. And it's really interesting because I often say to students, when that beacon of light goes up, the spirit people see that beacon of light and they're attracted to that beacon of light. So what do you give them? They'll give you plenty, but what do you give them to work with? Do you give them a space to work with? Do you give them an open space to work with? A non-ego, a clean space to work with, open to all different types of discoveries, all the types of references they might give you. So what are you giving them? They're important to look at when you're talking about the power and being in the power. I think that's it for now. There's a lot more I can go into, but I think that's it for now. Any questions thus far? Excuse me, I've always been covered.
Megan, go ahead.
What is the difference in sitting and meditating and being in your power, and then I'm out walking around and I get all of a sudden pushed by spirit to give a message? Not closed down power.
Well, you're not really in your power. I guess you could be touching the power. You could be slightly touching into it at that point. But I'm talking about living that when you're ready to work and getting into that, a habit, really, of getting into that mind space and that set when you're working. So you can touch the power every day, like you're walking the dog and the spirit comes in. You're touching the power, but you're not fully engulfed in the power. You're not fully there.
Okay, is it wrong to give people a reading with, if I get ambushed by spirit and says it pushes me to do it, is it wrong to go up to a person and say?
I would not do it, and I don't think spirit ambushes you.
That's a wrong term, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it because it's a sign of respect. So they have to respect your space, you respect their space, but they have to respect your space. And they've got to respect the process, and they do. But you've got to make sure that you set that intention. And so you have to respect the process and they have to respect the process, and the quality of your mediumship later on will be so much better. Because if you do that and you walk down the street and all of a sudden bump, 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 you'll find that your readings are reaching, grab. It won't be a whole experience of really designed to go and be with them and then bring a message through and then close down. You'll be one of those mediums that reach and grab, and there won't be any fullness to that reading. And you see that on TV. You see there are some mediums on TV. Don't know what they're doing, they're just reaching and grabbing. You see that anywhere. And a lot of people just reach and grab, and it's not really being the power, it's just touching it. So bad habit, don't do it, bad habit.
Okay.
And Alan, I saw you posted a question. Let me unmute you. Go ahead.
Yes. So how does one build up the power to sustain for an hour and a half? Because I can do 20, 30, 40 minute readings, but I don't know if I could do a demonstration for an hour and a half.
Oh, sure you could, Alan. Come on, sure you could. So what I do is I work a lot with humor. Humor brings up the vibration. So humor really brings up that vibration. So after the demonstration, I mean, and Lynn does this as well. Some of the readings that we get through, we don't take it overly seriously. And that lends itself to bringing up a humor, a joke, a lightness to it. Because when you can integrate that into the demonstration, the reading, it'll keep sustaining that power. And listen, when you get a message, and it comes in waves all the time. And mm-hmm. So those lulls will be low. You'll have to wait a little bit. Your mind has to wait for the next big wave to come in. Okay. But I would say get excited with the brand new information that's being told to you. So it's not like you're saying, what's going to happen next? You're going to be, wow, this is exciting. Wow, let's see where we go from here. And you'll be able to do it. It's just sustaining with excitement of the information, the fun of what you're doing, big part of it, because you have to realize it has to be fun. It
right.
can't work. It's got to be fun. You're changing people's lives. And the energy of love is the strongest, powerful energy we have. So the more you can also tune into that love brings you right up. And, you know, part of Alan, the way spirit has worked with me, sustaining the power, it's really interesting because when I'm doing a reading and give the message through, I can tell the ability of the power by having me become aware of the love of the person in the audience, the loving energy. And then the loving energy of the person that the relationship is coming in, that loving energy, I'm a recipient of that. And that also sustains the power.
Yeah, it's very funny because just this morning I was thinking to myself, boy, my messages, sometimes they feel a little serious and you know, I was reminding myself I need to have more fun and just bring joy into it. Yeah, exactly.
You can't be so spiritual that you're no earthly good, as Nate would say. You can't be so spiritually evolved and no earthly good. You got to have lightness with it. You got to have a sense of humor. I come out on stage dancing. Hello? I mean, really, crazy. I can't do any more than I'm 60 years old and fell off the stage of the day. But it opens it up right away. Now, what that does, it is very deliberately, and what that does, we do it deliberately. Number one, it takes away any nervous tension because you don't want any nervous tension because that limits power. That brings things down. And there's also fear because some people don't know what the hell they're going to. Like, is it just evil? You know, so it takes that away immediately. And the third thing is it realizes this guy's having fun and people will want to have fun with you. So
right.
you're in charge of it. You're in charge of the orchestra. So if they see you're having fun and you're having a good time, then they'll have a good time.
Right, right.
But you know, when you have audiences that are real downers, and I'll say I've had real depressing downers, you don't want to work with them. You know, you really just, ugh. I was in Scotland once, a spiritual center, the worst, all mediums, the worst. And it was like I could barely continue because they didn't give any power. They gave nothing. There was no, you know, lightness to it. And I have a pretty good sense of humor. I can do a thing. So you'll get audiences like that. You'll get people like that. You do readings. And you can do the best you can sideshow. But sometimes it just doesn't work because it's just so down.
Yeah.
So you know, you'll have to adjust that. But fun and love, excitement, I would say, is the best way to sustain it. You'll be able to do it. The only thing you got to worry about is getting in your head too much.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I see you have to worry about is getting in your head. Oh, my God, I got to get this right. I got to get this right. We don't want that. So I want it from your heart. Where you feel that love. That's more we want from you.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay. Did I see Mary Harpin? Did you have a question?
Nope. Maybe it was the other Mary.
Okay. Anyone else? Just wave to the camera. Iris, go ahead.
Hi. I had a medium tell me recently that spirits often come to, the spirits that are drawn to you or that can be drawn to you are drawn not only to communicate to the client, but also to help you. So that if you are dealing with a certain issue in your life, for instance, forgiveness or something, that those spirits will want to help you by helping you understand their state at the same time with the clients. Is that something that you...
Very true. Very, very true, Mary. Good point. That's not often brought up in mediumship, but that's very true. At least my experience has been that, exactly that, in that a lot of my readings I'll bring through many times siblings that don't get along. And I have the same situation in my life, personal. So you get a lot of personal stuff, you do. It's really interesting because remember, they're going to use what's in your mindset and what's your mind references. So if you have references of, let's just say, I'm using a bad example here, that you love Paris, you love being around Paris every summer, you go and visit and walk around the streets of Paris, and a spirit who passes over might know about the Eiffel Tower and talk to a loved one about the Eiffel Tower. They can only do that because you have the experience of Paris. If they go to a medium who doesn't know what the hell Paris is, never been there, they couldn't bring through a message. So they will use often the references that the medium has in their mind that they can get through to. Like for me, I was talking about my sense of humor. So some of the best readings are spirits, souls who have a great sense of humor, who have fun, who have joy. And they are very much, and I'll often say on stage, like, well, I go have a beer with this guy. He's like me, I can understand that. And oftentimes you'll get like attracts like. So you will get those spirits who are very much like you and living a life like you, or situations in your life you're going through, they understand that, and they're trying to help you to look at it from a different perspective. So they're not only healing the recipient, but they are healing the medium. So it does indeed happen. So much happens that we don't realize when we're doing mediumship on so many levels, because not only are you healing ourselves, healing the recipient, everybody else in the room is doing a demonstration, every other person in that room is being healed, because we're all humans, we're all having the human experience. So we all can relate to different aspects of that message.
Well, sure. The reason I asked this person this question is about 3 years ago, someone committed a very grave injustice offense against me, and it's something I'm still working on forgiving and freeing my energy. And actually, the last meeting that we had, telephone meeting, you drew people's names randomly to give them a quick reading, and you couldn't see me, But you said to me, have you been bullied or abused in your life? You need to work your energy. And that was this experience that I have that I'm really working to clear. And what's happened to me the last year and a half as spirits have come to my readings, a lot of them have been, even I had one spirit that came from 150 years ago, people asking the recipients for forgiveness or teaching me about forgiveness or, you know, things that were kind of amazing to me that I could, by allowing those spirits to be very, very close to me and feel what it felt like for them to have committed these terrible crimes in their life, but working on repentance right now.
It's really interesting, Mary. That's very, very good because, yes, when people pass over, souls pass over, you've heard me say this, when they pass over, they have to relive the good, the bad, the indifferent, and they feel things that the other person felt 10 times, 20 times, 30 times stronger than it initially happened, the original act. So they're kind of stuck in the limbo, the best way to describe limbo, that state of mental beingness where they relive that crime, and say it's a crime, and say over and over again from the recipient's point of view, and they're stuck. They're kind of stuck there. And it really takes forgiveness from the person on the earth to say, I forgive you. And by forgiving them, you're forgiving yourself. You're unlocking that chain. I remember I once brought through a lady, this girl's grandmother who came through. And I said, it's really interesting. She showed me when she first passed over to the other side, she went to some kind of a hospital or a clinic. And her guide brought her through this room and showed this man that was sleeping. And he said, you have to forgive him in order to let him wake up. And she looked at the man and she realized that was a Nazi soldier that killed her. So it's forgiveness is a medicine we give ourselves. We don't want corrosion. We don't want toxicity in our body, in our mind, and that's really forgiveness is a remedy for that. I highly recommend to you, Mary, if you haven't taken it yet, Forgive the Unforgiven, a course that I have in school. It's really very good, tailored exactly to that, because you don't want to hold on to that stuff. You just don't, because it'll affect every aspect of your life and people in your life, and you don't want that. And you know, it's hard sometimes to forgive those, but I often say, go back to their history. What was their background? What was their childhood like? Were they beaten when they were young? Is that how they knew about love? Were they were beaten and they associated love with beating or whatever it might be? Be better than that. But try to go back and to understand their history. Because if we all are one, we got to understand everything about each other and try to be take the high road, you know, take the high road, less travel. Yeah. Okay.
Christine, let me find you in the, there you are. Christine, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the one that doesn't have a face.
We'll find it one day, don't worry.
I have a mystery face today. I had a question. I was listening to some of your classes and it says to give them that space when spirit comes in. And in